It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence, special edition live from the Crescent Sheraton in Phoenix, Arizona, with Adam Kokesh filling in for Ernie Hancock today. And loving getting to reach out to a new audience. If you want to email me today during the show, adamversustheman@gmail.com. Freedom Summit happening this weekend in Phoenix. Very exciting. You heard some of the promotions here, and in one of them you heard Ernie Hancock saying that we're going to be talking about the current state of freedom in the United States. That doesn't mean we're having a funeral. That doesn't mean we are going to be sitting around depressed at the current state of freedom in the United States, because there's a lot more to this summit about getting people together who are similarly minded to empower each other. And one of the things I'm looking forward to very much in that is Stefan Molyneux's talk Sunday afternoon, How to Go on the Offensive. I'm just going to read this one more time because I always get so much out of hearing him talk when he's addressing freedom activists. The title is How to Go on the Offensive Without Being Offensive. So often liberty activists get cast in the role of solving the problems thrown at us by others. Who will build the roads? Stefan Molyneux of Freedom Main Radio, that's freedommainradio.com, will show you how to turn this around and get people to start answering their own questions rather than throwing up endless objections. Always great stuff from him. Also, Saturday, Charles Goyette is going to be talking here, author of The Dollar Meltdown. He's going to be giving us an update. His title of his talk is Outlook 2011, the latest news from the dollar meltdown. Charles Goyette on the Fed, Congress, gold, and the dollar. It's wealth for Wall Street and poverty for the people, and how you'll feel it in the new year. And my background isn't in economics, of course, and the only thing that I really have any I was about to say the only issue that I really have credibility on is foreign policy, because I served in Iraq, but I can't really say that constitutes credibility. As Ron Paul famously said, you don't have to go to Iraq to read the Constitution. You don't have to go halfway across the world to understand that our foreign policy of empire is not in our best interest. It's just another government scam to enrich those who control this country at the expense of the rest of us. But similarly on the economic issues, you don't have to have a degree in economics to understand that the Federal Reserve is a criminal institution. You don't have to have a degree to understand that we are being screwed. You don't have to have a degree to understand that the tax code is set up in such a way to create a perpetual bubble on Wall Street that keeps people gambling with your money, with the full backing of the Federal Reserve, knowing that they're going to get bailed out. That's part of the problem here. And the basic economic concepts that we all kind of take for granted, of course, we're not taught to apply to things like monetary policy. We're taught not to even question those things. So I'm really looking forward to this from Charles Goyette, not just because we get an opportunity to really take a serious look at the future of the dollar. There, you know, you hear so much sensationalism in our movement sometimes that it's hard to tell what's really going on, especially when it comes to the Federal Reserve. And we know that it is one of the greatest threats to liberty in the world today. But you hear, oh, well, the dollar's about to crash. It's going to crash tomorrow. It's going to crash in the next month. It's going to crash in the next 6 months. And there have been so many people that have been saying the dollar's about to crash for years, but Charles Goyette is someone who knows what he's talking about, and I don't know where or when the dollar is going to crash, and I hesitate to predict things like this. It's easy to predict immediate economic consequences of our government's economic policy. I shouldn't say easy, relatively. And I would hold up Peter Schiff as a great example of that, as someone who's able to see what is going on and figure out what's coming next. But as with our foreign policy, what we don't realize is that economic policy is similarly determined by the whims of those who control the system. You can predict that if we go to war in Iraq and occupy it for a decade, we're going to piss some people off. You know, those kinds of predictions are easy. If we print all this money, we're going to have inflation. Sure, that's plain enough to figure out. Of course, most Americans don't think about things at that level or are conditioned to not question the economic propaganda that is handed down from on high. However, we can see that every turn, there's another nail in the coffin for the dollar. There's another nail in the coffin for the Federal Reserve. And to get a sense of what's actually happening is great, and to be able to look forward and predict what's going to be happening. And in order to do that, you really have to get past understanding the economic concepts of supply and demand and price fixing and manipulation by the government and interest rates and how the dollar is manipulated by the Federal Reserve and things like that. But you also have to understand the minds and the mentality of the people behind the system. And that's something that Charles Goyette, I know, is going to be touching on. I'm very much looking forward to. After that, Saturday afternoon, Dan Barker, a minister turned atheist. He is the PR director for the Freedom From Religion Foundation, or was, from 1987 to 2004. And the title of his talk, I love this, America Doesn't Have a Prayer. Feels like that sometimes, but here in Phoenix this weekend, we're bringing together some of the best minds in the liberty movement to get together, really understand the current state of liberty in this country, but also to empower each other, to organize and to be speaking out and to reach out to the American people. So, again, the thing with Stephane Molyneux Sunday afternoon is going to be very exciting on that note. Saturday night, we have the keynote from Lawrence Reed. The title of that is Echoes of Rome, Is America Repeating Ancient Mistakes? I love this kind of historical perspective because it's another thing that's so sorely lacking from the government-run indoctrination center curriculum. President of the Mackinac Center for Public Policy for its first two decades, Reed became president emeritus of the center upon assuming his duties as president of the Foundation for Economic Education. So that's Saturday night. Sunday morning, Gary Franchi of Restore the Republic. The title of his presentation is The Greatest Threat to Freedom Besides the Federal Reserve. He's also the host of RealityReport.tv, now with twice the reality. And Gary Franchi is an incredible activist in the freedom movement. And there's something to be learned from what he's done, particularly with Restore the Republic as an organization, because it's not registered, it's not C3, but they take donations, and they do some really incredible work. And he's looking for support. If anybody wants to check that out, rtr.org. RealityReport.tv. It costs a lot of money to put together the kind of incredible productions that he's able to come up with for RestoreTheRepublic.org, and he really deserves your support. But I'm looking forward to hearing from him and from having a chance to really have so many meetings of the minds here. But to me, what I'm really looking forward to most of all isn't any of the presentations, but the after parties Saturday night. And of course, I'll be probably moderately concussed, possibly drugged up as a result of the rugby tournament. And yeah, Ernie Hancock is in the room here. He's doing the important work of passing out flyers while I'm covering for him here. But he's got so many important things to do, getting things ready for this weekend. And we have the Freedom's Phoenix crew working with all this incredible equipment I have in front of me, getting ready for live video feeds. You're going to be able to see it all from freedomsummit.com and freedomsphoenix.com. Check it out. You can get the entire schedule of what's going on this weekend. And if you're just tuning in, this is Adam Kokesh filling in for Ernie Hancock on Declare Your Independence. If you want to email me during the show, adamversustheman@gmail.com. And I will be doing my show from here tonight as well, Adam versus the Man, adamversustheman.com. When we come back, I got a fun story to share. A Canadian uses a crossbow to kill his father. You think we got problems in the United States? Wow. Anyways, we'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in.
Those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Wait a second. This is the Ernest Hancock Show now? I thought this was Declare Your Independence. Either way, this is not Ernest Hancock. This is Adam Kokesh filling in for Ernie today because he's doing much more important things, getting ready for the Freedom Summit, like eating pizza, which he's doing right now in the Crescent Ballroom at the Crescent Sheraton in Phoenix, Arizona. Very excited to have with me today Bill Buport, who is going to be speaking on Sunday. And if you want to find out the entire schedule for what's going on, freedomsummit.com, also freedomsphoenix.com. Now, the title of your talk on Sunday is The End of America, The Coming De-Sovietization of These United States. And I love that the these reference. On my show, I love that I have such great listeners who catch me on this all the time. Last night I was talking about medical marijuana and the issue of states' rights came up. And there's no such thing. States don't have rights. And the language is similarly so disempowering when we say the United States as opposed to these United States. And I presume because you're talking about de-Sovietization, this has something particular to do with your talk on Sunday. You want to tell us about that?
It does. And the first thing I'd like to say, though, Adam, is that I've had the honor of tuning into your show, Adam versus the Man, and I dig it.
Well, thank you.
It's just terrific stuff, and I think it's a great use of your talents. Adam didn't pay me to say that.
Talents is certainly a stretch. I mean, if you have, I guess I'm a talented windbag, professional blowhard. Now you got to put me somewhere.
I don't think you're a blowhard because you're not proximate enough to D.C. to be so.
Ah, okay. So, yeah. We can. Well, yeah. You know why it's so windy in New Mexico, right?
I don't.
Because Texas sucks and Arizona blows. And speaking of which, you know, as an Arizona host, we have Ernie Hancock here, and he's going to be speaking as well. But please tell us about what this means, because when I saw this, I mean, I know that you're someone who knows what you're talking about on these issues. But de-Sovietization, I mean, the first thing when you say that de-Sovietization of the United States, the first thing that popped into my mind right away was that Russian professor who said, "Oh yes, in 10 years there's going to be 4 pieces of the United States, and maybe Hawaii and Alaska breaking off." Is that what you're going to be discussing?
As a matter of fact, there are two Russian professors, different Russian professors, who have said that.
Have they actually? Are these are credible Russian professors?
As credible as a Russian education system can be, yes.
Well, it can't be any less credible than ours, of course. But the credible, you using the vernacular sense at least, credible Russian professors making the specific prediction, not that this is a possibility, but that this is going to happen.
Well, this is like a currency collapse for all fiat currencies. They all have a floor value of zero, and it isn't a matter of if but when they will reach that. The reason why I use the term de-Sovietization is that I've been fascinated at the fact that, and you have a military background like I do, Adam, and you know that all intelligence agencies, all government agencies were caught absolutely flat-footed in 1989 when the Soviet Union collapsed. As a matter of fact, Robert Samuelson, the author of one of the most prolific and prodigious economics textbooks that's used in colleges, had said into the middle of the 1980s that the central planning system in the Soviet Union would soon outstrip ours in productivity and their ability to deliver. You and I both know that that's
okay.
A lot
well,
of,
was it? Well, now, you said nobody saw it coming, and I understand that other governments who believe in the scam concept of government itself, who believe in keeping these rackets going, aren't going to. You know, the most of the people perpetuating the scams, not the ones profiting off, but the ones perpetuating it, really believe in it. I mean, if you're gonna put a front man on a scam, you want someone who believes the BS, right?
Absolutely, and of course they have the incentive to believe it because they're part of the nomenclatura,
right?
The American nomenclatura now.
And so they believed that the Soviet system was good, that it was going to be strong and prosperous, and so on and so forth.
Right.
Did anybody predict that? I mean, were there?
There was one person. His name is Robert Conquest. He wrote about the Ukrainian terror famine. And he was probably one of the only presently working at the Hoover Institution. He was the only one of the whole stable of Kremlinologists in the English speaking world who wasn't captured by the communist concept and ideal. He always looked askance at it, And he knew who Joe Stalin was. He knew what the terror famine was about. He knew that there's that fellow from the University of Hawaii who talks about democide. And he talks about the almost 100 million corpses that were stacked up between 1917 and 1953, just in that period of time. On the subject of my talk on Sunday, I take this a step further. Not only do I contend that we are going to have a similar collapse to what they have, well, they cabbed off literally 14 to 15 different nation states on that Islamic underbelly of Stans, the Stan brothers mm-hmm. that they have there. I'm showing people the historical parallels in the 20th century that in 1917, both Woodrow Wilson and V.I. Lenin winked at each other on the starting blocks. And they said, we're going to see who can create the more perfect Soviet Union. Guess who won? Because the Soviets got the silver medal. We got the gold.
It's true. And it's so you're going to be explaining, applying that model, what Sovietization of the United States
exactly.
was and how that's gotten us where we are today.
And why, you know, we've been so propagandized in every facet of our lives, especially through the government education system, to think that we're the best in history. The Constitution is terrific. And if anybody has read my stuff, they know that I think the Constitution is a four-letter word. And that we're all raised to believe, yeah, we are the exceptional nation.
It's
and
the best propaganda the money can buy.
Oh, it's immense. Starting with government education, of course. I think that is the prima. That is probably the sine qua non, their ability to maintain this illusion of the emperor.
Oh, and the Soviets knew it, too. I mean, there was the sixth plank in the communist platform. You have to take over the education system.
Exactly. But then again, of the Communist Manifesto, what of that haven't we adopted in one manner
right.
or another?
Right, right. When I confuse them now because it was always like, oh, number six, that's the centralize the banks and take it. And I was like, well, no, we did that. Number five, wait, take over the – no, wait, we did that. And you go – and I'm getting the numbers wrong, but you can go through all 10 planks and be like, oh,
it's so funny
crap.
Because National Socialism and Communism are kissing cousins. And I'm often fond of talking to my collectivist friends and saying that apart from the forced sterilization and liquidation – of Jews, gypsies, homosexuals, you name the accredited victim group that they wanted to eliminate in Nazi Germany, what is it you disagree with in the National Socialist platform? Because
right,
they
well,
were
the
original environmentalists, they were militarists, but I'll tell you, again, you and I have the military background, we know that the neo-imperialist crap pits that we've created around the world, and in the last 10 years, we have alienated planet Earth from America, period. Wherever you go, I think the only place that you wouldn't find alienation is among the non-English-speaking penguins in Antarctica. That would be it.
Well, the point of your talk tomorrow, I want to ask you, how is it?
Sunday,
right, correct, Sunday. This is 10 a.m. Sunday here at the Freedom yeah. Summit, freedomsummit.com, also freedomsphoenix.com. How are you predicting that this is going to happen in America? We see so many issues. Of course, the financial ones really are the big ones.
Yeah.
But you see the little ones that people care about. I'm sorry, we're coming up on a break. I have no idea when they happen. I don't have a producer. I have more equipment than we have in the entire radio station in Albuquerque
in front of me. This is jazz. Just run with it.
All right. Well, we're having a good time. FreedomSummit.com, getting ready for a very exciting event this weekend. This is Adam Kokesh filling in for Ernie Hancock on The Ernie Hancock Show, or Declare Your Independence, whatever you want to call it. We'll be right back.
From the
and that's
studios
when the show got really
of
good.
Freedom's Phoenix,
excellent.
Ernest
excellent.
Hancock.
We're so lucky as living folks.
It's working. Despite the fact that we have eight producers in the room right now helping out at various levels and more equipment than I could shake a microphone at. We're having a great time. This is Adam Kokesh filling in for Ernie Hancock on Declare Your Independence, sitting here with Bill Buebert, who is going to be speaking here on Sunday. If you want to shoot me an email during the show, adamversustheman@gmail.com, and I'm going to be doing a special edition of my show tonight from right here in Phoenix, Arizona at the Freedom Summit. So the talk, your talk is the end of America, the coming de-Sovietization of these United States. And we just really, in the last segment, only started getting into it. But I want to ask you a couple specific questions about this. As you see the threat growing, and I don't mean the threat isn't a bad thing, but what I guess our current rulers would see as a threat to the power structure, the current system of states realizing that being a part of the Union probably not in our best interest. It, in a sense, it comes from the ground up. Individual Americans saying, well, geez, this deal with the government, it's not working out for me so well. And people are starting to make the connections, you know, thanks to the internet, the sharing of information. People are starting to realize what's going on. They're seeing alternatives. And you can look at the big financial issues. You can look at the Federal Reserve. You can look at the collapse of the dollar that, you know, so many people have been saying, oh, well, that's going to happen tomorrow. You know, people have been saying that for years. You know, mostly people selling gold or silver, of course. And I'm not knocking that. I mean, I believe in the Fed as a scam, and I believe in owning gold and silver. But I'm definitely against the sensationalism, and, there is a certain fear-mongering associated with those sales tactics. But for the individual American, most of them still don't make the connection to the Fed. I mean, it's a growing issue, and it's beautiful to see how many people are picking it up, largely thanks to the Ron Paul presidential campaign in 2008. However, there are so many other issues that are much closer to home for individual Americans. So my question to you then is, which one of those issues? Is it going to be the sort of hard reality of the macroeconomic situation, or is it going to be individual anger, individual angst among Americans around, you know, firearms laws, around marijuana laws, around all the other things that we call states' rights, all these other pettier issues, if you will, that that are more symptoms that affect Americans. What is it that's going to lead to the first state to secede from the union?
It's hard to put my finger on what that's going to be, because, as I alluded to earlier, in 1989, when the Soviet Union fell and we had 15 of those nation states calve off, No one knew. No one had a clue. All these intelligence organizations and things that we pay tens of billions of hundreds of billions of dollars a year for to keep an eye on that kind of thing, they were all caught flat-footed. The same problem is here. The same problem is twofold, because we also have a parochial vision. All of us in this room, myself, you, Adam, we're Americans, so we don't have an English vision of America. We don't have an American vision of England. And you find that when you have that kind of dispassionate ability to analyze a given subject, you can probably find some kind of assignment of blame. But in here, we can Monday morning quarterback it to a certain extent. But in the end, it could be any of these issues that you're talking about. But the prime thing that's going to happen is that once the currency collapse occurs, people will discover that government is nothing more, as Stefan Molyneux is fond of saying, than a feedlot, in which they are the cattle holders, we mm-hmm. are the cattle. And these are simply taxing jurisdictions. Gary North wrote on Lou Rockwell the other day where he repenned the Lincolnian funeral dirge called the Gettysburg Address, where he repenned it where it said taxing jurisdictions, because basically it was a fight over taxing jurisdictions. Once the currency collapse happens, you're going to find a whole lot of folks, especially in the inland western states, rising up and saying, enough is enough, because we find that a lot of the monies that we send out, we make it a little bit more than others do, but it comes back with a 35-mile baggage train of federal regulations, everything from prescription drug bottle labeling assignments to the size tangerine I can have.
Right. Now, this is really different from, you know, how it's going to be in New Mexico, because we're one of the largest welfare states of the union, and a lot of it's because we're kind of a nuclear colony of the national government. In the semantics, I really hate to call it the federal government at this point. It doesn't deserve that.
Let's just call it Mordor on the Potomac.
Mordor on the Potomac,
because
enough.
What that does is it describes that, yea and verily, it is an absolute evil on the land, and it is an absolute stain on the land, and their only intent is to ensure that we are under fetters and chains. Right.
Well, I mean, even in New Mexico, you know, we look at those numbers and we go, oh, look, we send this much money to the federal government. Look, we get so much of it back, and don't really see that so much of it is still coming from the underclass, the people that the tax cattle. You know, there are certain favored citizens that get money for grants for Los Alamos and Sandia Labs and, of course, all the other government handouts. But yeah, with inflation, you know, we still have incredible poverty in New Mexico. And What I want to ask you next, because you've studied the breakdown of the Soviet Union, mm-hmm. and what we saw with that was a sort of loss of satellites, as opposed to what we're going to see in the United States. We're not going to. It's not going to be, oh, shoot, we don't have Alaska anymore. Oh, okay, Hawaii's gone. Oh, now Puerto Rico. It's going to be Montana. Idaho.
Adam, you're only talking about a timeline here. Because I'm very fond of saying this. I think Celts are naturally genetically anti-authoritarian. Celts comprise a lot of our Western exodus, our Western settlement, our Western frontiers. Mm-hmm. I'm fond of Natty Bumpo in Last of Mohicans, played by Daniel Day-Lewis, where one party says, well, frankly, I ain't subject to much at all. And then the other guy says, where's your patriotism? He says, I'm going to Kentucky. Well, how do you get there? Well, you face north and you turn left real quick, like. the government education system teaches us that they just wanted their 160 acres and a mule. They just wanted to be free. They just wanted to be. Well, hell yes, they did, because the Celts ran all the way to the Pacific Ocean. And the other Celt looked at his friend and he said, look out, the Constitution's right behind us. That's what it was all about. They were escaping big government. That's what the frontier settlements were about for the most part.
Okay, well,
so the point that I'm trying to make here, though, is that you said that these Soviet states are satellite nations. Well, the Soviet state in and of itself was an artificial conglomeration. I would submit to you that these United States are an artificial conglomeration in that the Constitution made it into something that it was never fit to be.
So when the Soviet Union collapsed, you did not see a philosophical revolution as a result. And to me, that's very disappointing. You didn't see people go, oh, well, we're going to reject statism. The Soviet Union didn't work. This model doesn't work. There wasn't that level of education. Now, things are different today, largely because of the internet, our ability to communicate and share information.
Look at Russian marginal tax rates. Look at their corporate income tax rates in Russia proper. They're in the lower teens. Lower teens. Mm-hmm. While our confiscatory tax rate, when you combine everything, the corporate income tax rate and everything, near 60-70%. I mean, we're right on par with the EU as far as taxing regime. So I do think, in Eastern Europe especially, you have an economic enlightenment towards free markets that you don't see evident anywhere else. And maybe that's spun off from this whole Soviet death. You know,
what are you predicting for the American psyche as this starts to happen, as this grows? When it happened in the Soviet era, there simply wasn't the opportunity for any of the sheeple to get on the internet and hear an alternative narrative to the government propaganda. It was one propaganda source versus another, and they went with independence in the satellite states, right? So in the United States, though, today, are you more hopeful that there's going to be some raising of awareness associated with this?
You know, I am hopeful as far as our ability to fracture and remain autonomous in those fractured zones in the United States.
All right, this is Adam Kokesh filling in for Ernie Hancock on Declare Your Independence. I said we'd bring you the story of the Canadian shooting his father with the crossbow. We're going to get to that and a little more with Bill Buebert when we get back from this break. If you want to email me, adamversustheman@gmail.com. We are broadcasting live from the Freedom Summit at the Sheraton Crescent in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. All
right. Welcome back to a special edition of Ernest Hancock's show, Declare Your Independence. I don't know, is it the Ernie Hancock Show or Declare Your Independence? We're hearing both, but this is Adam Kokesh filling in of Adam versus the Man, and we're going to be doing our show 9 to 11 p.m. right here in the Sheraton Crescent Hotel at the Freedom Summit. Joining me now is Bill Buebert, who's going to be speaking Sunday at 10. The title of his talk is The End of America, The Coming Desovietization of These United States. Again, using these United States. And I wish I had the discipline to catch myself every time I say the United States Constitution or the United States this or that. These United States. And the reason that's so important is that in the awakening that's happening in the United States, the philosophical revolution that we're in the midst of, is have many similar dynamics to the collapse of the Soviet Union, but also some very exciting different ones, because we have the enhanced communications abilities, and there's a different awakening that's going on in conjunction with this. So tell us a little bit more about what you're going to be talking about Sunday.
Another thing that I want to touch on was that when these United States does collapse. I caught myself. When it does collapse, we're going to fracture and fragment and devolve into various confederations, nation states, things like that. It could be Idaho. It could be Idaho and Montana. Could be Ecotopia in California, Washington, and Oregon. Of course, the reason they behave the way they do is because there's Marxism in the Pacific Ocean. So,
well, you know, we're already seeing things like that at the local level. People saying that the organization of government, the structure of it, isn't working. In New Mexico, we have in a couple communities, they're demanding a new county. People that don't want to be a part of big Bernalillo County with Albuquerque, which is by far the largest county in New Mexico. You know, in California, cities disincorporating entirely. And do you think it would be one state or several states together?
You know,
what would happen here?
I think that to a certain extent, collectivism, socialism, communism, all these kind of isms that you and I, Adam, are traditionally mm-hmm. opposed to and almost instinctively opposed to, those are urban phenomenon if you think about it. They are urban enclave phenomenon. The more rural enclaves get, with very few exceptions, the more self-sufficient, self-reflective, and more self-governing they become, and the more they embrace spontaneous order. With that in mind, we know that we can go down to the county level. Maybe we'll have city states. Who knows? I mean, this is a huge, bright future. We got to look at this not as a denouement for the United States. This is going to be where we rise from the ashes, finally fetch our freedoms, and we keep them. We will probably have to do so jealously, because there's going to be plenty of places out there like the Borg Nation, known as the American Northeast, where that place is as Sovietized as they get.
Well, I just want to throw out a cautionary note, because this is possible that this – I mean, one of the things that this is contingent on is the collapse of the dollar. It could happen without it. Not likely.
But you think, Adam, it will happen.
Yes, yep. The dollar
so
will
do I.
collapse.
So do I.
Absolutely. But it could be that we de-Sovietize before that. But it's most likely that that's going to be one of the leading causes of it. So there, as we have seen with the trailing of realization, for example, even in the United States, Abraham Lincoln. He's shuddering here, for those of you that can't see this. Abraham Lincoln. But the point is, people are waking up to this now, whereas for decades, Abraham Lincoln was the great emancipator, the hero, because the victors write the history. And in some ways, I think even if this happens and we see a complete de-Sovietization of the United States, and that term, are you the first to apply that to the United States?
No, I wouldn't want to take credit for that. I'm sure those others.
Okay, but there's something really clever in the use of that word, because what you're suggesting. Because we're using the word to describe an action.
Yes.
A de-Sovietization.
Yes.
An action that's going to happen in the United States. But and when anybody understands that, they go, oh, well, that's an appropriate term. So what's the implication? We are currently a Soviet organization.
And I subscribe to that. I think and I was astonished in looking at the evidence. If I look back on the 20th century, although I do think Lincoln was a pre-communard, the 19th century term for mm-hmm. a communist, but I do think when you look at the 20th century, it's phenomenal the parallels between the USSR mm-hmm. and the United States and the way they behave. Because you and I both know that with a police state is definitionally when you and I are subject to a panoply of laws in which we can find ourselves jailed, fined, maimed, and killed as a result of breaking these laws according to what the government says. But the government quite literally has a license to kill, and they can get away with it.
Absolutely.
We're there now.
Now, one of the things... I mean, we can talk about all the good things that would come of this, how much better off we would be, since apparently the experiment of the Constitution of these United States has been a failure. A brilliant
Amen.
Document. You know, it gave us the economic strength to create the most absurd, corrupt government the world has ever known. But it did produce that for a short period of time. But it's proven to be a long-term failure. And there is going to be some negative consequence of this.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think it's almost irresponsible for us to have this conversation and to not say it's not going to be all sunshine and roses when 50 states assert their independence and the union is dissolved.
Let's also remember that the vision that you and I and Ernie and the Freedom Summit has is a dystopian vision. because we know people are going to fail. We know that risks are going to end up where people just don't get done what they thought they'd get done.
Well,
people
in the sense
aren't
that
always going to succeed.
Well, Ernie describes himself first and foremost as a non-aggressor.
Yes,
but the
Rothbard's axiom.
The temptation of aggression is an element of human nature.
Yeah.
And we're never going to achieve a perfect state of a society in which there is no aggression. That's the dystopian part. But moving in that direction is what people here are coming together on. And you pointed out, I don't know, we have maybe a dozen people in the room altogether. How many of us are armed right now?
I think more than half armed.
At least more than half?
Yeah.
Well, see, this is really important because, well, first of all, I love open carry in New Mexico. Because it is the best way to guarantee that everywhere you go, you will get the absolute best customer service possible. And I'm sure it's true here in Arizona. There aren't so many. You don't see people open carrying on the streets everywhere you go. I mean, it's still an anomaly.
Yeah.
But it's important in asserting that. And if the desovietization happens as we envision, my point about rewriting history is that there's still going to be a lot of people who control very powerful means of communications. The Internet, of course, is challenging that. But that there's going to be a lot of people saying, well, look at how much stronger our economy is, and we could add all 50 states together. Now we have to add them individually and separate things and try to calculate GDP.
And that argument leads to global government.
Right.
Even though the argument is fallacious
on
its face, economically.
That's the thing that scares me with the concept of the dollar collapse as a trigger of this. Because when the dollar collapses, a lot of us are going to cheer and say, great, now we can start our own currencies. Now we can, you know, be using AOCS coins. Now we can barter freely. We can come up with our own media of exchange. But that's not it. No, there's going to be a much bigger fight.
But the bleeding from the sheeple will be cacophonous.
And it will be, give us a global currency.
Absolutely.
And there's going to be a much bigger fight on our hands. And it's primarily a fight of philosophy, of inspiration, and of having the courage to stand up for what you believe in. And that's what's so great about this organization, Freedom's Phoenix, this crew here, all the Lovelutionaries here in Phoenix that are working with Ernie Hancock for this cause, the Freedom Summit, all the people that are coming from all over the country this weekend to come together for this meeting of the minds. FreedomSummit.com, FreedomsPhoenix.com. Please check it out. We're going to be live streaming if Drew here, one of our part-time non-producers of this radio show, is able to put together the equipment from the challenges that Ernie has put in front of him, and we're going to have some. Now, are you pointing the camera at me now? All right, that's what I get. When I'm at home doing my show in Albuquerque, you know, I nothing but praise for my producer because he's great. He's a full-time volunteer like so many of the great activists here with the Freedom's Phoenix crew. And, Drew, you're doing great work, and we really appreciate all the hours that you put into this and making sure that the technological support is here for – oh, my gosh, are we getting cut already?
I'm signing off.
I'm sorry. We got the timing all screwed up, but it's been a great pleasure to talk to this audience. This is Adam Kokesh filling in for Ernie Hancock on Declare Your Independence. FreedomSummit.com. Check it out. Thank you so much for listening. And AdamVersusTheMan.com tonight at 11. We'll talk to you then.